heart overflows, love him, thankful for his Lord and Savior, tell what he knows. Once more, I want to tell it. Once more would I embrace, you know what? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. That's the only kind of preacher there is, you know, a sinner. I know someone one time that came out of religion like most believers do, and they were so relieved because the first thing the Lord does when he deals with you is shows you what a sinner you are, even in religion. And you think you're the worst sinner on earth, and you think you don't deserve to be in the church. But you're sure glad, and you hear it. And this person heard the preacher stand up and talk about what a sinner he was. And that person was so relieved to hear that. If the preacher's a sinner, I can listen to him. Luke chapter 5. Besides, someone said that church or preaching is just one beggar telling another where he found bread. Or one sinner telling another sinner where he found mercy. That's it. The Bible, as you know, was written as a book. There were no chapters and verses. It all goes together. Look at verse 18. You see that little backward P? You know this, but some may not. That's the beginning of a paragraph. Or often it's a time has elapsed between the previous verse and this verse. But this begins with and, doesn't it? Well, look at verse 1. And it came to pass. Verse 12. And it came to pass. Verse 16. And he withdrew himself. There's some teachers in here. An old English composition rules. You don't begin a sentence with a conjunction. What's a conjunction? I learned it on Sesame Street. Conjunction, junction. Hooking up words and phrases and clauses. That's what conjunction. If, and, but. It hooks up, it connected to the previous sentence. If you go through the gospel, you'll find and. Why? Because it's all connected. This is all the story. I'm not being foolish here. I'm trying to tell you that it's all the story of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from glory to save his people. The gospel, beginning with Genesis and ending in Revelation, is about this story, the gospel story of how the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Ephesians 2 is one of your favorite chapters, isn't it? How's it begin? And you hath he quickened and redeemed. So verse 18, that's the way it begins, this way. And it's a conjunction. So you kids got a lesson in English language too. But it's a lesson in the Bible. It's all about him and how he came to save. And behold, the word behold is an old Bible word, isn't it? I looked it up. It means to stop. It means to think on this. It means to consider. He said, don't just hang on. Look at this. Would you look at this? Behold. And this story is of four men bringing a man. They had to get to Christ. And they saw, it doesn't matter what it takes. We're going to get our friend, our brother, whoever it was, a neighbor, whatever. We got to get them to Christ. It's his only hope. What are we going to do? We're just going to get on the roof and tear the roof apart. Was this thing serious to them? Behold, our Lord said, seeking me, you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart. All your heart. That's seeking. That's searching. Behold, these men brought this man sick of the palsy. Now stop and think about it. Behold, the Lord Jesus Christ was in this house. The Son of God, with power to heal, was in that house. These men heard about it. Somebody told them, you know that Jesus of Nazareth is down in Simon Peter's house. Said what? You know that he's down there in that house?
Seriously? Yeah, he's down there. Really? Bill? Joe? John? Tell Bill. Tell George. He's down right down there. He's right down there. He's here. Is he here?
Says they sought whatever means they could get to get to him. I find people seeking whatever means or excuses they can to keep from coming. Not these men. This was a pressing matter that Paul talked about. Wasn't it? Pressing matter. If our friend doesn't lie before the Lord Jesus Christ, if our Lord doesn't look on him, he's a goner. And there's some right in this room sick of this palsy. Palsy makes you paralyzed. Palsy won't let you walk. And there's some in here that's not walking by faith. So blindness. Our Lord healed blindness and deafness and dumbness and leprosy. And all these things are pictures of salvation. We all need this, don't we? And some in here is so blind, I haven't seen it yet. It's just an interesting sermon. Just another preacher. It's just another day. When we looked at if the gospel's being preached, the power of the Lord is present to heal. He heals everyone that has what? Need. Look at verse 31. The Lord, the scribes and Pharisees, you know, were murmuring. They didn't like anything. All they did, they came to catch him at his word. They didn't come to hear his word. They came to catch him. Or for entertainment or something. He was a good speaker. And they came to, because everybody else would not want to go to church, you know. They murmured in verse 31. Our Lord said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We talk a lot about sin here, don't we? That you won't find a message preached from this pulpit that a man doesn't begin with sin. I recently had a man imply to me. He was wanted to argue, although it wasn't an argument. And I hope he was sincere. He implied to me that a church is a place where good Christians go. And he said we ought to go out there in the streets and talk to people. That's where the sinners are. I'm going to ask a show of hands right now. Would one of these real good Christians raise your hand? Somebody. If you think you're a real good Christian, raise your hand. All right, let me ask another show of hands. If you think you're the chief of sinners, raise your hand. And you've come to the right place. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. The church is a hospital for sinners. A cancer hospital. You know, if you get cancer, you don't just go to the hospital, do you? You go to a cancer hospital. Because everybody there has it. Right? It's a deadly disease. Isn't it? You know, if I don't get healed from this, I'm going to die. You might go to the hospital, have ankle surgery like I did. I'm not going to die from that. But when you hear the word, you've got cancer, and many in here have heard that, you have to go to a place
that deals with cancer, aren't you? And you're going to hear a lot about it. Because it's going to kill you. Tell me, please. You want the best physician, don't you? Don't you want the best physician, the best treatments? Brothers and sisters, this is a cancer ward. This is a place where all of us, our loins are filled with a loathsome disease. Is that you? Old Brother Joe used to love it. I'd say this. I've been tempted to put on the church house sign, "No good people allowed. Sinners only." What if a harlot walked in this place? Brethren, this place is full of them. The church is a soup kitchen for the hungry. The church is a place where the gospel is preached. The gospel is Christ. The gospel is Christ crucified, who died for sinners, who paid a price because of sin. It's going to kill us all. God's going to kill us. If God didn't kill Christ, he'd have to kill us. That's how serious it is. The church is a place where you can find bread. It's bread for the hungry. It's water for the thirsty. It's clothes for the naked. It's mercy for the guilty. It's grace for the helpless. It's help for the hopeless. It's freedom for the captives. And we keep coming back because we keep getting in captivity. We keep coming back to be clean because we get dirty. It's sight for the blind. It's healing for the deaf. Hearing for the deaf. It's feet for the lame. It's good news for those in trouble. The Lord sends his word and heals. That's how he does it. These four men heard. Faith cometh by hearing. People aren't going to hear it out there. I know we'd go out there and we'd tell them, we'd talk to them. But here's what the woman at the well did. There was somebody at a well. And that well is a picture of the church where Christ is, where the water of life is served up, right? Isaac was a well digger. Isaac is the son of promise. Isaac's a type of Christ. What did he do? He dug wells. Water for everybody. Well, this woman was sitting at a well. Our Lord was sitting there waiting. Where's this woman going to find the Lord? At a well. That's where Jacob found his wife. That's where Isaac found his wife, didn't it? That's where the Lord found this woman. And she went there with a water pot. And the Lord, the first thing he did was, reveal to her what her true need was. He made her thirsty. He made her feel her guilt and her sin, living in sin. He made her feel all that. She's convicted. And she said, I know this. When Christ comes, he'll take care of all this. He said, I am. She met him there. She dropped the water pot. You know what she did? Oh, she ran and told some people. What'd she tell them? What'd she tell them? Somebody told, I met the Lord. You come see. You come here. Go back where I was. He's still sitting there. Come on, he's not going to be there long. Right? And that's what they did, sister, didn't they? All came back and they said, we heard her, but we didn't. But now we hear because we hear you. And that's what we do. As I said, this man wanted to argue with me about preaching. You don't need to hear preaching. Well, you're arguing with God when you bring up that. Okay? How shall they call on him who do not believe? Not heard. How shall they hear of him? And not heard from a preacher. Man, that's take heart. I did misquoted that. But listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How? Then shall they call on him who did not believe? How shall they believe in him who they've not heard? How? Shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Everybody saved in this book heard a preacher. The preacher didn't save them. The word did. But God sent the man and they heard him. They heard him.
And you're not going to hear this message out on the street, are you? These four men heard he's in that house. We got to get to it. Well, they sought means. They sought means. They heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Did this man, I thought about this. I've never thought about this. Did the man sick of the palsy ask them to take him? Maybe. Maybe he heard about it. Brothers, will you mind taking me? I've heard there's people being healed of palsy, and he's there. Would you take me? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord doesn't save people that don't call. If you don't call, you won't be saved. If you don't come, you won't be saved. Well, he couldn't come. Well, he did. Would you take me? Whosoever shall call, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you don't call, you won't be saved. If you don't come, you won't be saved. No man can come. Man can call unless he comes and calls you. But you will come. You will come. These four men heard. And they were desperate. They had one thing on their mind, this pressing matter, for their friend or their brother, whoever it was. And they couldn't get near the Lord. And they needed to. They had to. They wanted to be as near him as possible. They wanted this man to be right in front of him. Did you notice it says before him, not far away? I want to get as close as I can. I want him as close as we can get him. I want him to hear from the Lord. I want him to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, I want the Lord to look on him, and I want him to see him. He's not going to be saved unless he does. And they brought him in. Brothers and sisters, your loved ones are not going to be saved apart from hearing the gospel. And the gospel is in this place. Yes, it is. We've got a dear sister back there who, her father came years ago, and he was saved. Everybody is. Thanks, Ed. And she insisted he come here. And she rode with him, or he rode with her when he came to visit. And they'd be riding down the country and say, here's a church. If I imitate him, you'll know who it was. Here's a church. Here's a church. What's wrong with this church? And she kept saying, the gospel's not there. Christ is not being preached there. You come with me. And she insisted. She insisted. And he said, I'm not going there anymore. Didn't he? I'm not going there anymore. She said, yes, you are. You come to visit me. You're coming with me. Right? One day. Old Connecticut Yankee. You can't teach a Yankee nothing. Well, the Lord did. Taught him he was a sinner. Didn't know the Lord. Saved that old boy. He wasn't with us too long. The Lord took him home. Isn't that amazing? Amazing grace. The gospel's here. In this community. It's the gospel's right here. I know of no other. I've looked. I've listened. Haven't you? You've been to places. Bragging on us. I'm just telling you, there's one gospel, there's one Lord, there's one faith. I've reached out, I've looked, I've listened, I can't find it. But it is here, isn't it? So what does that mean? Let's find means. We have means to bring them. We have means to bring them before the Lord. You want them to hear from the Lord. We have means. They sought me. We have means. The radio, we got sermon audio, we got automobile, that word of mouth. Would you come with me and hear what I hear? Who? Well, they wanted their friend to be before the Lord. See, that's what I'm not looking for church members. My dad used to say that. I'm not looking for church members. Church members give you nothing but trouble. He said, I'm looking for sheep. Sheep. I want to. Maybe that's the message you need to hear next. After you hear the one on dying. On the trail of his sheep. I'll never forget that. He preached a message. I'm on the trail of his sheep. Look at verse 20. They brought him. And he saw their faith. The Lord Jesus Christ saw their faith. And what is faith? Well, I've said this many times. It's not a what. It's a who. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed their friend's only hope was Jesus Christ. They believed this man had to see, had to hear, had to be touched by, had to be healed by, had to be saved by Jesus Christ. That his only hope was Jesus Christ, the Lord. That's faith. And how do you know that? How do you see faith? See, faith is not just saying, Pharisees say, but don't do. It's easy to say. How do you know they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you know that they knew that their friend's only hope was for him to hear the Lord Jesus Christ? They brought him. He saw their faith. Now, the faith is believing on the Lord. And he's not being preached today as Lord. He's preached as a figurehead. Like a bow of a ship, you know. Kind of a luck charm. You only call on him when you get in trouble. He's no figurehead. He's not a Lord in name only. You don't make him Lord. He's not your co-pilot. He is Lord. You're in his hands. Men and women need to hear this. You know, if I had one message I'd preach to this generation, it'd be that one that's on the radio this morning. Did you hear it? How our world needs to hear that, don't they? That the God who is God, that man who really is a worm, and his only hope, one hope, not what God, man does for God, not what God lets God do. It's the mercy. The gospel is the power of God himself. They need to hear who God is. They need to hear who Christ is. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ that he sent. He's the Lord. He's Jesus. He's the Savior. That means God our Savior. He's Christ. He's the covenant head. He's the Redeemer. He's the only one that has the right to redeem. He's Boaz. Boaz didn't have to redeem Ruth, did he? Boaz didn't have to redeem Naomi. Boaz didn't have to do that. But he did. He's the only one that could. It's up to him. Christ. Messiah. The anointed one. There is no other. He's the prophet. He's the prophet. We don't need any more prophets, Mike. We've got one. He's told us all things. He's the priest. He's the great high priest. We got a high priest that can forgive all sins. We have a king. You know, the only true government, the only real government, the best government there is a monarchy. That is, if he's a good king, a wise king, a godly king, we have one. Brethren, our God reigneth. Our Lord reigneth. The end of his reign is there's no end. The Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw their faith. Now, faith is evidence of things unseen. Right? An unseen God. It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. If you believe this God, this strange God, these strange doctrines to most, if you believe this, God gave you that faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Faith is evidence of things unseen. And yet, things that you see of faith are evidences of faith. All of Hebrews 11 shows us, I was going to turn there, but don't have time. But Paul, we think Paul wrote it, but he mentions Abel.
How do you know he believed God? How do you know he believed that salvation by blood? He killed a lamb. He brought a lamb. He didn't. Mike, he wouldn't dare bring anything else. He came one way, the lamb. How do you know he believed? My only hope's in his blood. That's what he said. Enoch walked with God. Seemed like nobody else did. He agreed with God. How do you know Enoch had faith? He agreed with God. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. That's, he saw it. Noah, being warned of God. Warned of God, mind you. He didn't hear the love of God. He heard of the wrath of God. And he was warned of God. And moved with what? Fear. That's the beginning of wisdom. What did he do? Prepared an ark. How do you know people fear the Lord? They come and hear about this ark. They come and they get in the church house where the ark is prayed and they tell me again. Is this a city of refuge? The church is a city of refuge. They got to be in it. You say, I want to be where Christ is. I want to be found in him. Hide me, oh my Savior, hide me. This gospel is kind of a refuge in it. This gospel is a hiding place. This gospel where Christ is preached. Covering for the naked. Faith is seen. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? Hebrews 11 does. Faith's just another word for life, people. He saw life. Life of God in them. Faith is the life of God in the soul of man. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. How did he quicken you? We're quickened together with Christ. Oh, it's by grace you're saved. Through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Faith seen. Faith seen, look at this. Faith seen is importunate prayer. How do you know that woman that came with an issue that she needed Christ? She came crawling. How do you know that woman whose daughter was vexed with the devil really believed Christ was her only hope? She wouldn't be turned away. He ignored her, called her a dog. The woman, the importunate widow, kept coming. And the king said, I'm going to give her what she asked for. She's serious. That's faith that's seen. Importunate prayer. Like, here's importunate prayer. Jacob said, hey, let him go. Now you can leave me, but I am not letting go till you bless me. I'm not going anywhere. You know, that's not of himself. Importunate prayer is having a pressing need to worship, to hear the word. It's a pressing need. I got to have it. Faith that is seen is an attitude of thanksgiving. That gives glory to God. And no matter what, some of you, all of us go through trials and the way that our faith in our sovereign God that sends these things, the way it's seen, is for other people to see you go through that and still give thanks to God. And say things like this, strange thing, God did this. A lady in this building is talking to a man at work, which she's very prone to do. And she said to him, I believe in a sovereign God. I believe God does all things. I don't believe he's standing by watching things. He causes all things. She said, I believe if I go down the street and have a wreck in my car, God did that. And I said, oh, no, that's not. How strange is that? That's what they say to it. God didn't want that to happen. You'll believe strange things. And it'll be known with an attitude of thanksgiving, repentance, true worship, humility, mourning, hungering, thirsting, meekness, peacemaker, worship, walk, witness. That's faith that is seen. Faith that is seen. Over in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas went down to Antioch. And it says, when he had seen the grace of God, he rejoiced. He saw some former idolaters. We've been to Mexico, some of us have. Boy, we saw the grace of God. In every village, every little poor pueblo in Mexico, there's a giant Catholic cathedral. If you want to see Catholicism in its true light,
go down to these third world countries. All right, these poor peasants send in their pesos, hard-earned pesos. And they send it in for them to build these monstrosities, these buildings where Catholicism reigns and rules, where these rich priests prey on these people. And the inside is full of all sorts of actual gold and stuff like that. And these people come and they bow and they buy candles and they bow and they do this and the priest promise them this and the priest promise them that. And if they don't, they warn them, you're going to go to hell. Every village down there.
But God chose some. And he takes them out of that. And he gets a little house where somebody meets, like a Lydia or a Jaira, and gets a little pueblo. And he sent a preacher, Walter Groover, Cody Groover, he sent a preacher down there with the gospel of Christ and him crucified, and sends a gospel. And they hear it, and they huddle together, and they come in the back of a pickup truck. They got to hear this message. Freedom from captivity, free from sin, freedom from that priest up there in that mansion. Freedom. And they come and they hear Christ and he makes them free. And you see the grace of God, don't you? You see it.
Our Lord saw their faith. Miraculous, life-giving, life-changing, new creature, new heart, mind, walk, talk, faith. Faith is not a creed. Faith is not a profession. That is a of your mouth, with the heart man believeth. The heart. So here Christ was preaching. And they heard and they came. And they brought their friend. It says he saw their faith. I can't help but think of him standing there watching them do this.
He was expecting them. You know that? This didn't take him by surprise.
And neither will your salvation. And, you know, I hope the Lord is dealing with some. It appears maybe. I hope. And I'm not infallible. The Lord is. But sometimes it's just so wonderful to watch the Lord deal with somebody. And the first way he does it is just make them miserable. And when they're miserable, I'm smiling. I'm thinking, the Lord must be dealing with. And I can't help but think of him standing there watching them go to all this trouble. Can you see that? Can you hear Simon Peter's wife? Look what they're doing to my roof. Simon says, oh. He's watching it. He's smiling. I knew they'd come. Been waiting on him. There they come. They lowered him down. And it's silent. Everybody stops. They lower this man on ropes down at the feet of the Lord, right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, and then he looks down on this man. He looks down. The Son of the Most High God looks down upon this one that he had chosen before the foundation of the world, that he loves, that he elected, that he set his heart, mind, soul upon, that he came into this world to save, and brought here by strange means, but brought. And he looks down into his face. What do you think the man's doing? He's looking up. The Lord's looking down in mercy and love and grace. The man's looking up. He's looking in the face of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said six words. Six words. Man, thy sins are forgiven. Some of you must be like this man. You must know something about this. There's some Pharisees sitting over there. Well, he came to be healed of his palsy. Man. All right, let me address somebody in here. No Pharisee. Well, Pharisees, you have a palsy and you don't know it. Man? What man? He didn't call his name. Aren't you glad the scriptures doesn't call name? Huh? Man? That's what I am. You? Ain't much of one. David wrote that in Psalm, was it 34? He said, this man, this poor man, cried. And the Lord heard him. Man? You know, whosoever, whatever. Whenever the scripture says man, it means woman. You know that? It means boy. It means girl. Man? Human being? Sinful creature? Man? Thy sins. Thy sin. Do you have any sin? If you really know yourself, you believe that you're the chief of sinners. If you really know yourself, you're not thinking, I sure hope so-and-so hears this. If you really know yourself, you're thinking, I need this. My sins. David said, my sin. That's why Psalm 51 is our favorite song, isn't it? Oh, so-and-so sure is a bad sinner. I hope the Lord saves him. My sin is ever before me. If that's not your heart cry, you'll get tired of this message. This man, when all this is over, this man says, tell it again. Tell me again. Thy sins. That's our problem. That's the source of all trouble. That's the source of our inward struggle, our outward struggle. That's why everybody's mean as a snake. Sin. That's why there's death. Sin. And the Lord said, thy sins, your sin, are, right now, not shall be, are, right now. Today's the day of salvation. You know, if somebody hears this message, if the Lord speaks to one person, he's saying, right now, today, sins forgiven. You, me, forgiven. Me? He ain't talking to me. Yeah, he said you. Forgiven. You ever needed forgiveness? There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than to feel at odds with somebody you've sinned again. Somebody you've disappointed. Somebody you've... And the worst is of all is our God. And to feel like he's going to cut you off. That he's not going to have anything to do with you. They ought to give you your portion with the wicked. Why? Because of sin. Sins have separated. But to hear the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel say unto you personally, your sins are forgiven. Frankly, fully, immediately, forever forgiven and forgotten. Forgiven, when the Lord says forgive, it means forgiven. It means forgotten. It means never to be brought up again. He said, their sins and iniquity, I'll remember no more. I'll never bring it up again. You'll never forget it. We never forget it. But God said, I'll never remember again. Woo! Man. Now, brethren, the Lord doesn't save unrepentant sinners. And this man, the Lord had convicted him of his sin. Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. The Lord doesn't tell unrepentant sinners, your sins are forgiven. Right? And he did. He told this man. And I can just see him. I can see him lying there. He's still paralyzed. He still has the palsy. The Lord hadn't healed his body yet. But man, he's healed it. I think he's smiling. I think he's grinning from ear to ear. I think tears are running down his face. I think it's the best news he'd ever heard in his entire life. I think he now thinks, if he heals my palsy, fine. If he doesn't, that'd be fine too. Because I'm forgiven. Sins are gone. I think if he sung a song, he'd sing this. Did you hear what the Lord Jesus said to me? They're all taken away, away. My sins are pardoned and I'm free. They're all taken away. They're all taken away, away. Oh. You reckon? You ever been guilty of anything and had to face a court date? I one time my dad was in a serious car wreck that he caused. He ran a red light and he had a car full of kids. He was a youth minister. And if he'd have died, he'd have split hell wide open. And he'd taken those kids with him. That's why he went everywhere afterward renouncing all his past religion. But he was in this car wreck. He ran a red light. They was all talking or whatever. And ran a red light and plowed T-bone another car and just totaled that other car. And thankfully, nobody was hurt. Well, he had a court date coming in. And his father went with him. The time came for the court date. And you know, if you've gone through it, he was waiting on this date. And it's just nervous, you know, his heart is just fearful. Just, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? They're going to put me in jail. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? And he took his father with him. His father went with him. And they were sitting there in the back row of the court waiting on his case to come up. And my dad said, I remember it like yesterday. He said that judge was throwing the book at people. He was so just. He was just so rough. And he was throwing the book at people. He was sentencing people to jail right and left. He was showing no mercy practically. He said, the more I waited, the more afraid I got. Trembling. So I was literally trembling. What's going to happen to me? And you know, case after case went by until finally everybody was gone but him and his dad sitting on the back row. And the judge had his head looking down like that, and he looked up. He said, what can I do for you all? Dad stood up. He could hardly. He said, my name's Henry Mahan. I'm scheduled to appear here. The judge went. There's nothing in here. Your name's not here. Go on home. You're free to go. There's nothing on the record. You know what Dad said he did? He said if he could have leaped a pew, he'd have leapt it. He went out of that place, forgiven, forgotten, blotted out. Nothing on the record. Clean, clear, over. That's what God does. Every sinner. You say, but Christ hadn't died yet. Oh yeah, he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Because every Old Testament saint was saved by the blood of the lamb. Those Pharisees, you know what they said? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's right. One more point. Our Lord said here in our text, he said this, and this needs to be looked at. He said, which is easier? Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Which is easier? Which is easier? Forgive sins or heal a man with a palsy? Which is easier? Well, it's easy to say. The Pope says it. The Pope says that your sins are forgiven you, but they're not. He's a liar. He hadn't forgiven anybody. False prophets say, be healed. But they're not. It's all phony. But you know, our Lord said that you may know, number one, that this is why I came. That this is the most pressing need. That this is the only way that sinners are forgiven. This is the only way that sins are forgiven. One way. If I say the word. It's my word. It's my will. It's me. It's me saying it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's right. So this one standing there was God. Is God. He still is God. He's not standing outside your door hoping you'll let him. He's seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. But here's good news. Every sinner, no matter how bad, never the cheapest sinner, you look to him. You look in his face like this man did, looking up, pleading, hoping, will you have mercy on me? I need forgiveness. You know what he'll say? freely and frankly, man, thy sins be forgiven. In Matthew's gospel, he said, the first thing he said was, son, be of good cheer. Cheer up. I got good news. Your sins are gone. Now, arise. Take up your bed and walk. But he got sick of something, didn't he, Dan? He died of something. He probably got bed fast again, didn't he? An old man. Couldn't get out of bed. But his sins are gone. See that? That's our need, whether we know it or not. That's our need. And it's God's great mercy to show us that need. All right, let's sing number 477. 477.